Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to PPAP Automotive Limited Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Jain, MD and CEO, PPAP Automotive. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Yeah, thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all the participants joining us on this call. Here with me are Mr. Sachin Jain, our CFO, along with our investor relations advisors from SGA. I trust you had an opportunity to review our results and investor presentations, which are available on both the stock exchange and our company's website for easy access. Before delving into the specifics of our financials, I'd like to provide a succinct overview of some key developments in the industry. India is the largest automotive market globally and is expected to conclude financial year 2024 with 4.1 million passenger vehicles, positioning itself as one of the fastest-growing markets worldwide in the coming years. Consequently, numerous global OEMs have established manufacturing plants over the past decade or so to tap into this significant market. To expedite their expansions, many global OEMs have now finalized plans to designate India as their global hub for certain models. In the PV segment, there was notable demand for SUVs. Passenger vehicle production volumes for Q3 financial year 2024 reached about 1.14 million units, marking a 5% year-on-year increase. Noteworthy sales were recorded during the quarter, totaling 1.01 million units, driven by factors such as the festive season, year-end promotions, and the introduction of new products. However, sales volume experienced a slight dip compared to quarter two, primarily due to the Kharmas period characterized by the subdued demand from December 15th to January 15th. In the commercial vehicle sector, sales volume for the quarter ending December 23 reached 240,000 units, up from 230,000 units in the same quarter previous year. The growth was spurred by robust economic expansion and increased construction activities, leading to enhanced fleet utilization rates and cash flows for fleet operators. Conversely, the tractor segment witnessed a 5% decline in sales volume during the same period, largely attributed to subdued demand from a delayed harvest season. Nonetheless, solid order bookings and positive market sentiment suggest a resilient growth trajectory for the sector. The two-wheeler segment saw a significant recovery driven by the festive demand in the previous quarter. The positive momentum continued in December 23 quarter as well, with sales volume reaching 4.7 million units, indicating a robust year-on-year growth of 23%. Increased demand was influenced by various factors including festive fervor, heightened rural sentiments, the wedding season, intensified marketing efforts, and anticipation of price hikes in January 24. We've emphasized that financial year 24 marks a fresh start for our group, and so far it's shaping up accordingly. To enhance profitability, we've communicated price hikes to the customers. Many have already committed to it, diligently worked on reducing internal costs with suppliers, and we are still progressing towards internalizing manufacturing efficiencies. The investments made in the JV company are proving fruitful. Our aftermarket division has established a strong network across India and is now exploring international markets. I am confident that the company's effort over the past couple of years will yield improved results in the remainder of this year and the next year going forward, strengthening the fundamentals of the company and the group, thereby creating greater value for all the stakeholders. Now let me briefly update you on our business segments. The company remains focused on the automotive industry. While witnessing strong demand and sales in this segment, we are continuously developing new products for our customers. The company's capacity utilization stands at 70% in quarter 3 due to seasonal factors and annual maintenance at the OEM level. Despite our products being engines, for long-term viability, we've managed to secure contracts with customers planning to launch electric vehicles in the future, led by Maruti Suzuki and by Tata Motors. We are actively negotiating with customers regarding compensation for inflationary costs, and we have encountered favorable outcomes within this quarter. As we have been mentioning for a few quarters now, our margins are expected to improve once all the costs are brought under control. Our second vertical for growth, the commercial tool room, has a strong order book. This year we have an order book of 65 tools. We are also participating in the Die and Mold India exhibition, which is organized by TAGMA from 14th to 17th February in the Mumbai Exhibition Center in Goregaon. I would request you, if you have spare time, please visit our stall. We'll be happy to show you our capabilities. We have recently rebranded this vertical under a new name, Meraki Precision Molds, to bring about more focus on making the molds. In our third vertical, as announced to you in the last meeting, we've started supplies for an export customer, which is the first for the company. In this segment, we are focusing on application engineering solutions in the areas of plastic extrusion, rubber extrusion, as well as plastic injection molding. Our product portfolio includes more than 50 plus products in this segment, which are being well accepted by the customer. In our aftermarket vertical, which is done under a group company called Elpis, our subsidiary, we have a pan-India distribution network, which is spread over 125 plus distributors. And in line with adding new SKUs to our product offering for our customers, we've added 200 plus products during this quarter, bringing the total to 900 plus SKUs being offered to the customers. This segment continues to grow at a rate of 50% this year, and I am quite hopeful that this growth will continue in the future as well. I am happy to share with you that we have also started exports to UAE and GCC during the last quarter from this company, and we are actively looking at exploring options to leverage the export market for this vertical as well. Our lithium-ion battery vertical is facing some challenges. Though we aim to build a strong order book and provide solutions to our customers in the future, but it is still taking some time to shape up. We are making all efforts to resolve all the performance parameters so that it starts positive contribution to the group sooner than later. On the sustainability front, we have obtained certification from EcoVadis, voluntarily comply with BRSR requirements, and we are also recognized as a great place to work. We strive to enhance our sustainability reporting process to meet the highest standards and to demonstrate our efforts in creating a sustainable value for all the stakeholders. Our latest sustainability report for financial year 23 is available on our website, where we highlight our CSR activities also, which are focused on environment, education and health. Now let me throw some light on the financial performance of quarter 3 financial year 24. At a standalone level, the revenue dropped from 124.8 crores to 119.7 crores on a quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA has risen by 15% to 10.9 crores on year-on-year basis. Also, the EBITDA margin improved by 160 basis points on a year-to-year basis, from 7.5% to 9.1%. The company registered a PAT of 0.2 crores, a slight decline from 0.3 crores year-on-year basis. Coming to the consolidated financial revenue, decreased from 127.1 crore in quarter 3 to 122.4 crore in quarter 3, indicating a decline of 3.7%. While EBITDA stood at 9.8 crores, indicating a growth of 7.9%, on a consolidated basis, the EBITDA margin improved by 90 basis points from 7.1% to 8%. However, the company suffered a net loss of 2.7 crores on a consolidated basis, primarily contributed by the lithium-ion battery business. Looking ahead in financial year 25, we expect the volume surge in addition to our improved product mix, lower input prices, cost efficiency measures should really improve our top line and our bottom line. Our CapEx spending will be aligned with the customer's requirements. Increased capacity utilization and tariff revisions from customers will surely put us in a strong position for growth and profitability in the coming years. Thank you all for your attention, and we are open to any questions. Over to you, Nirav.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rohit Mehra from SK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, could you provide details on the order book for Honda Elevate and the content per vehicle for this model?
So Honda side basically is the domestic volume is approximately 4,000 to 5,000 vehicles per month. And we are also getting the export volume from the customer. So in December month, we have started the export. And it is expected to go around 3,000 vehicles by end of this March. And regarding the content per vehicle, so the value is 6,000 rupees for the car.
Okay, got it. And my second question is, are we exploring any export opportunities, and do we anticipate a moderation in raw material cost going forward?
All the macro indexes for the raw materials are showing a softening trend. So we do expect raw material prices to come down. Apart from that, we've been working on de-risking our supply chain system as well. So both of them should result in reduced raw material prices, for sure.
Okay. And
what was the second question you asked?
Are we exploring any export opportunities?
Yeah, export opportunities. Export is a very important focus for us going forward. Like I said in my explanation, our aftermarket business, we've already exported one shipment to UAE in the month of December, and we'll be developing more such shipments in this quarter. In the main company, in our industrial product business, we've already sent two shipments for our export customer to the US, and more shipments are supposed to happen during this quarter.
Okay, got it. Thank you for the detailed answer. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nishit Shah from Star Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, are there any considerations or discussions regarding adopting a cost-plus model with OEMs to mitigate the impact of raw material cost fluctuations on margins?
Nishad, some of our products that we make, they are basically under the indexing system of a customer, wherein the raw material prices are adequately compensated. So basically, we have three business divisions in the company for automotive business: plastic extrusion, rubber extrusion, and injection molding. So whatever materials we use in injection molding process, which contributes about 40% of the total business of the company, those are indexed with the customer, and we don't have an impact on of raw material price movement. That is adequately compensated by the customer, maybe on a quarter lag. So that is one problem. This quarter lag we are trying to remove with the same arrangement with our suppliers as well, so that the company doesn't have any impact on it. The second, plastic extrusion, we are trying to get maximum indexing done from all the customers for all the materials, so that going forward in future, we are able to limit the impact of these unprecedented raw material price changes which have happened in our case in the last 2 to 3 years, especially after COVID. So we are trying our efforts to get all the prices indexed with the customers. So some customers have agreed to it, some materials they have agreed to it. Overall, we are not there 100% yet. Rubber side, we are already indexed with the customer. So whatever rubber prices change happens, we are adequately compensated from the customer.
Okay, okay. And I have one more question. Are we in partnership with most major players in the industry? And what are our plans for the margin expansion?
Sorry, what did you say about partnership? I didn't understand that.
Are we in partnership with the most major players in the industry?
We are supplying to most of the major OEMs in the country. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, right. Okay, and what are our plans for the margin expansion?
Like I've been saying in all the previous meetings as well, we are working on three-pronged approach. First is getting certain inflationary cost increases from the customer, raw material prices, correction, all those things from the customer. Second is, of course, internal manufacturing efficiency, wastages, and all of that, making the operations more leaner, less with the wastages and all. And third, of course, is the de-risking of the supply chain, trying to get better materials at better prices and localize to the maximum possible extent.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That answers my question. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Rajvi Shah from Bright Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions. The first one is, what is
Rajvi,
the status
of... Rajvi, sorry to interrupt you. Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, sure. I just had a couple of questions. The first one is, what is the status of commercial tool room business? Have we secured any significant orders?
Regarding commercial tool room, as we have mentioned that we have the order book of around 65 plus tools for this financial year. And commercial tool room is very specialized business. So in that... you got the repeat order, but it is not like the competitive business. If you developed one tool, then you start getting the 10 tool order for same particular tool. So we are gradually getting the traction from our customer, and continuously we are getting the order from our
customer in the segment. So I would not say that any significant value of order we have received. However, in line with the investment and the infrastructure which we have created, we are getting the orders.
Okay, I just had one more question. What percentage of our top line revenue comes from the aftermarket vertical, and what are associated margins in that segment?
So aftermarket side, we are getting around 3% of the top line. And if we talk about the full year margin, so here we are expecting around 9 to 10% this financial year in the aftermarket.
Okay, that was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Arunodeep from Mass Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Wanted to check, have we seen any scale-up in our battery business?
So battery side, we are still facing challenges, and we have developed 50-plus batteries, and we are working a certain customer with that segment. However, for the customer for whom we have developed the battery, their product and product is under certification stage. So that's why we could not scale up in this quarter three. So that is the area we are working on, where how to do our order book in that segment and further the financial performance of that company. So in lithium ion battery segment, there are still challenges, I would say.
Okay. Okay. My second question was, we've seen a big premiumization trend happening in India. Like, are we getting benefit from this trend? Has our ARPU for in each of these clients that we have, has it gone up?
In line with this premiumization trend, we are ready with our products. If you see this, you must have heard about Tata Curvy, which is supposed to be launched in the market soon by Tata, which was on display in the Bharat Mobility Expo, and there's been a whole buzz about it. So this product, this vehicle will have a lot of our premium products, which we are introducing for the market for the first time.
Can you share
our basic philosophy is that whatever customer wants from us, we are proactively ready with that kind of a solution before the customer requires. So in line with that, we've developed a lot of premium products for the customers. And when you see this Tata Curvy, you'll definitely notice all the premium products which are being made by us.
Okay. Are you in a state to disclose what are these products?
These are all similar product range what we do for Tata Motors. So the outer belt, the A-pillar, the C-pillar.
Sure. And what kind of revenue recognition will be having per car tentatively?
So Tata is planning to make, I think, 40,000 vehicles per year. And I think per car value is about 4,500 or something.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Karan Mehta from Mehta Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my end. So just wanted to understand, like, how do we foresee the demand shaping up in FY25? If you can provide some insight here.
Next year,
FY25.
I think next year is going to be a little challenging for the auto industry because it is the year after elections. So, of course, growth will happen for sure, but I think growth will not be as, say, similar as what it was in this financial year. So maybe a little less than this.
Understood.
But for us, we are launching a lot of new products, so that will definitely boost our top line.
Understood. And one point on our debt level. So we have seen that our debt has been rising in the past few half-yearly statements if we go through that. So how should we look at debt levels going forward, like for FY24 and beyond?
So on the debt side, also last call, we have informed that on the long-term basis, we try to maintain debt at that level only, not to increase substantially. So there could be minor changes based on the quarterly requirement or half-yearly requirement. So on the overall basis, we try to maintain at 150 crores kind of level of debt level only, until unless we have some big project where we need substantial funding to fund that project. Otherwise, we will try to keep it that level only.
Understood. Thank you. That answers my question. Thank you, and all the very best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Probably I missed about the CapEx point. Do we have any CapEx plan for next two or three years in line?
So right now, we don't have any major CapEx plan. So mostly, it would be in line with the customer requirement. And we are evaluating the customer project and the current capacity which we have at the current location. First, we'll try to align that capacity by shifting the machines if there is any requirement at particular location like in Pathredi side or Chennai side or Gujarat side. Across India, we have the plant. So first of all, we'll try to align our capacity among the plant. And after that, we will think of any large CapEx if some customer projects come up.
All right. So can you please share the present capacity utilization?
Yeah. For the Q3, it was 70%.
70%. Okay. So I believe there is room for growth. Do we have any aspirational number in terms of revenue and EBITDA for coming, let's say, 3 to 4 years?
Yeah. EBITDA side, we have also informed earlier also, so 12% kind of EBITDA margin we always look for. And top line also, so our first focus is to improve the current capacity utilization to that. And later on, we can also in the aftermarket segment, we want to grow at this pace only. Every year, we try to achieve 50% plus growth like industrial product where we have ventured into. So these are two, three areas where growth will come up.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you for your answer.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ravi Shah from Opal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. So actually, thanks for the opportunity. I had a few questions. So previously, there was a discussion that we had we would be maintaining an EBITDA margin of around 15%. Now it is at 9% for the current period. So I was just thinking, how are we going to manage that? And considering the decrease in commodity costs and potential price increase from our customers, why is the EBITDA not going in line with our price increases?
Yes. There are two, three reasons for that. So as we mentioned, that 40% of our product is already compensated or indexed with the customer prices. And secondly, on the inflationary cost side, we are working with our customers to some success we have received. So if you see, if you compare with the last quarter, year-on-year basis, our margin has improved by 160 basis points in spite of there is a drop in top line and increase in the fixed expenses also. Like employee cost has increased and certain other expenses also increased because you need to maintain your manpower and you need to do certain expenses to maintain the facility. So in spite of that, our margin has improved. So it has come due to both reasons. First is one is the price improvement from our customer side and softening of the raw material prices. So, for the margin side, I would say that we have bottomed out for the margin side, and now it would be only the upward trend.
Understood. Thank you, sir. I have another question, sir. What would be our strategy to increase the content per vehicle, especially for key OEMs like Maruti and Tata, as you mentioned? So what is our strategy over there?
Strategy basically is to increase our per car value business. So parts are limited to us. We can offer them higher value-added products. So premiumization of products, that is one strategy where we are focusing on with all these customers, introducing new technologies. To get more business from them, we are regularly conducting technology shows at our customer ends so that we can explain to them about our good manufacturing practices, our good products, our good technology, everything, so that they get attracted to us and give us more business.
Understood.
Product side, for all these OEMs, I think currently, initially, we started with only plastic extrusion, then we started injection, then we started rubber molding. We will continue to investigate for more options, but as of now, product category remains the same. What we are trying to do is, with all the existing customers, get more premium products in place, and also wherever we are not present, try to get business from them. So there are two customers mainly which we need to, which we are focusing on. First is Mahindra, which is completely missing from our portfolio. So from last 1 year, we've been trying to engage with them. I'm pretty hopeful that during this quarter, some good news should come through, and we start doing Mahindra business. Tata Motors, we are continuously engaging with them for all their new platforms so that we are present across their platforms. Hyundai, Kia, we are doing some small business for them from our Chennai plant, but we are in talks with them. You must have heard Hyundai is planning to, has already acquired the Talegaon plant of General Motors, and they'll be soon customizing that plant according to their requirements. So we are actively in discussion with them to get business from for that plant in Pune.
Understood, sir. So one last question would be on the capacity utilization. So in the presentation, it's mentioned that there was an annual maintenance. I think I missed it in the call. I must have missed it. So just wanted to know, have we returned to normalized capacity utilization as for this quarter?
No, the annual maintenance was at the customer's end.
Okay.
We cannot afford to do maintenance once a year. We do it on a daily or a weekly basis. So there's no capacity break for us. We have our machines running at all times. It's only that because customers had maintenance shutdown, they didn't produce that many vehicles. And that's why we had non-production days at our end because of that.
Understood. So this is a one-off event. Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sonu Harsana, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, like, if you look at the industry, passenger vehicle industry, that is grown by 7%. For Q3 FY24 year-on-year basis, and also for 9 month basis, industry has grown 6 to 7%. But the revenue is just grown by 1.5%, almost flat. So, like, what is the reason for this? Are we losing some market share or what?
No, it is not about losing the market share. So there are two reasons. One is in the initial 9 months, we have higher tool sales. Last year, this year, we have less tool sales. And we, as we mentioned, that we are doing automotive business in two, within two companies from the PTI, our JV company, and PPAP. So if we combine both the companies' automotive top lines, then we have grown by around 10% higher than the market. In PPAP, we have grown only by 2% because there are certain product of value, the production was start from our JV companies. That's why it is looking that our automotive business top line has grown lesser than the market. If we consolidate both companies' top line, then we have grown by around 10% in the automotive segment.
No, but sir, like, let's say the consolidated result 9 months basis.
Yeah, because the JV side, the revenue is not consolidated, only PAT we consolidate. So in top line, that effect does not reflect.
Okay. So that means that business with the other JV, that is like if we are consolidating only PAT, then that's
Yes.
basically loss-making business, no? Because our profit after tax is also getting, I mean, we are getting loss from there, no? Till now.
Yeah. For that company also, up to the Q last year, there was losses in we have settled the price with the customer, so the price has been corrected. In this quarter, the loss due to there is a as we now we have the contract with the customer for the price indexation. If there is any price reduction in the raw material prices, so customer will reduce the sale prices. So for the 9 month impact has came in this quarter, one time impact in this JV company. So that's why in this quarter it was in loss. Previous quarter it was in profit in Q2 and Q1.
So, like, by when we can expect there will be a permanent profitable growth from that JV company?
So next year onwards, because as we mentioned that we are also doing certain activities in the raw material side regarding the source changing and the operation efficiency side. So from next year onwards, there will be significant improvement in the margins, especially in the JV company.
Okay, and my next question is on this battery business, PPAP tech business. Like, we are saying that we are facing some challenges for last two, three quarters. So, like, to which customer we are talking so that we can get some business? Because if you look at two-wheeler players, they are all big players now remaining in the market. All small players have lost their loss. So, like, how can we turn around this battery business?
So here we are talking to basically three-wheeler business operators, three-wheeler manufacturers. Their product is under certification stage. Like, we are also discussing with some solar energy customer where there is a requirement of battery. Further, we are also discussing with the customer who needs the energy storage system. And also for the other application also, like golf cart and other where the battery is being used in the off-road vehicle, we use the battery. So that kind of customer we are focusing, because we also know that the two-wheeler customers who are quite big and they are doing their own operations or manufacturing their own battery. So we have identified our customers and now we are working with them to scale up the operation.
Okay. So one more question I have. So let's say if you look at profitability of our business consolidated level, we are having, let's say on yearly basis, EBITDA 40 crore based upon last three quarters. And if you look at, like, maybe we are maintaining CapEx of 10-15 crore. After that, we are remaining just 20-25 crore of cash. And if you look at balances, our capital employment is somewhere close to 400-450 crore. So very, very, very less profitability. So what is the reason behind this? And this is continuing for last approximate 1.5 years. Can you, like, give something that so that when will this profitability will improve?
Like, profitability, now we are at improving trend. If you compare with the last quarter, previous year also, that there was a 7.5%, 9.1% EBITDA margin has been improved. So it is.
At the same time, we are losing revenue now.
It's not that you can turn around in quarter, in one quarter or two quarter. It takes time. When you go to the customer, Maruti or in automotive, especially all the customer is quite cost conscious and cost competitive. So getting the price increases from the customer is not that easy. So from the last financial year, we are very diligently working on that, and We are also getting some favorable answer from our customer, like PTI, where in JV company we are able to get the price compensation, and in PPP also we are able to get some price compensation on the price side, and also the commodity price is also softening. So all those activity would result in the margin improvement in the coming years.
Okay. That is all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Jain for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining on today's call and taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to us. Thank you to our investor relations advisor, SGA, for organizing this call. As I requested in my opening remarks, we have our tooling exhibition from 14th to 17th February at Bombay Exhibition Center, which is called NESCO in Goregaon. Our tool facility, rebranded as Meraki Precision Molds, is showcasing there. I request everyone to kindly take out time and visit there. If you have any more questions, we'll be more than happy to answer you. You have our email address, you have our investor relations email address as well. So please feel free to reach out to us in case you have any queries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of PPAP Automotive Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.